Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IFGL Refractories Limited earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited. We are pleased to have with us the management being represented by Mr. Arashu Shanmugam, Director and CEO India, and Mr. Skandar Yadav, the Chief Financial Officer. We'll have the opening remarks from the management, followed by question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, I am Arashu Shanmugam. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on IFGL Refractories Limited Q1 FY25 earning conference call. Along with me on the call, we have our CFO, Mr. Skandar Yadav, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded the result and the presentation on the stock exchanges, and I hope everybody had a chance to go through the same. The global steel industry has faced a challenging environment in recent times, with performance being subdued across key markets. This can be attributed to a confluence of factors with fluctuating steel prices and widespread economic instability playing central role. Inflationary pressures have surged globally, making raw material costs unpredictable and squeezing margins across the industry. The supply chain has been significantly disrupted, particularly due to the ongoing Red Sea crisis, which has caused delays and increased costs for shipping and logistics. Furthermore, geopolitical tensions have further exacerbated these challenges, creating an atmosphere of uncertainty that has stifled investment and growth across manufacturing industry. For IFGL, overseas business things have planned out on the similar lines, mainly in our Europe and Germany operations in particular, which have been impacted with economic slowdowns, adding another layer of difficulty as markets have experienced high inflation and interest rates, along with increased labor and energy costs for manufacturers in the region. However, we have taken several proactive measures within our overseas subsidiaries to counteract the slowdown, particularly in Europe. As previously discussed in our earnings call, we are implementing automation and robotics to reduce costs and enhance operational efficiency. By leveraging technology, we are not only improving our production processes but also positioning ourselves to be highly competitive when demand picks up. Our commitment to innovation and efficiency will enable us to navigate this challenging time and emerge stronger, ready to seize growth prospects in future. Apart from Europe and Germany, our other overseas business operations experienced growth in this Q1, FY25. However, we anticipate gradual improvements in the second half of current financial year, FY25. We remain confident that the strategic initiatives in place will drive growth across our global market as conditions stabilize. Commenting on the Indian steel industry, which demonstrated remarkable growth in both production and consumption in the post-COVID era, according to the World Steel Association, India has been a leading driver of global steel demand since 2021. with projections indicating more than 8% growth in the near future. This robust demand fueled by continued expansion across all steel using sectors, particularly infrastructure, bodes well for our continued success in the domestic market. Our focus on the Indian market has proven crucial to our ongoing success. This shift allowed our domestic operations to succeed, with Q1 FY25 witnessing a 14% growth in the domestic market. We have grown domestic business by 30% in the last 3 years. We remain highly optimistic about the Indian growth story, which has prompted us to explore new opportunities. As previously guided, we have entered the non-ferrous refractory segment, which we believe holds significant potential for our future growth. We are actively exploring to expand our offerings in cement, glass, coke, and other non-ferrous refractory materials. This expansion is a key part of our strategy to capitalize on emerging opportunities and strengthen our position in the market. With these strategic initiatives in place, our R&D center will play a pivotal role in driving future growth, leveraging technology, transfers from our overseas operations, particularly from Sheffield Refractories. We are poised to enhance our capabilities in India. Sheffield's advanced products and technologies will be adapted and integrated into our Indian operations, following thorough benchmarking at our research center. One of key developments will be the initiation of refractory recycling, which will significantly reduce input costs and contribute positively to our bottom line. This focus on innovation and cost efficiency is expected to deliver substantial benefits as we move forward, reinforcing our commitment to sustainable growth and profitability. We are confident that with our major capacities now in place, an increasing utilization rate, the market is poised to outperform. This strategic positioning will enable us to capitalize on the growing demand and drive substantial growth moving forward. Now let me give some insights what we have done in the CAPEX and quarter gone by. We have successfully completed our CAPEX of around 175 crore, which was announced for all three manufacturing units in India. We recently inaugurated state-of-the-art casting flux granules production unit at Visakhapatnam with an annual capacity of 18,000 metric ton. This facility, part of our phase 3 expansion, features cutting-edge technology, including fully automatic batching and spraying, drying, spray drying. This investment aligns with our Make in India commitment and supports enhanced refractory manufacturing through research and development. We also launched the new Magnesia Carbon production line, part of our phase 3 expansion. The facility, with an initial capacity of 9,000 metric ton annual, will enhance performance, longevity and reliability in high temperature application. This will allow us to generate a revenue of 100 crores. Plant capacity will be enhanced to 24,000 ton per annum in a year time, further capital outlay of around 3 crores. Our Kalinga unit in Odisha now houses a new car impregnation plant. So this addition will bolster our production capabilities, enables us to meet industry demands for improved performances of slide gate plates. With these enhanced capacities and new product capabilities, we expect to improve the scale of the business, which will lead to scale benefits and operating leverage paying out in the long term for the company. Now, I hand over to our CFO, Mr. Sikandar Yadav, to take you through the financials.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Arasu, for giving me this opportunity to brief the audience on the financial performance of the company. So, starting with the standalone financials, total income for quarter 1 FY25 stood at 248.3 crores, up by 8% on year-on-year basis and up by 15% on Q-on-Q basis. EBITDA for quarter 1 FY25 stood at 44.4 crores, down by 4% on year-on-year basis and up by 18% on Q-on-Q basis. EBITDA margins for Q1 stood at 17.9%. PAT for the quarter was at 22 crore, down by 2% year-on-year basis and up by 41% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Domestic business stood at 161.4 crore with a growth of 14% year-on-year basis. Export business stood at 80.2 crore, saw a decline of 6% on year-on-year basis. Moving on to the consolidated financial highlights, our total income decreased by 1% year-on-year basis to Rs. 421 crore for the quarter one. Sluggish demand in the overseas business due to slowdowns in Europe and other key markets. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 53 crore, down by 11% year-on-year basis. This is mainly due to high employee costs due to restructuring of team and high freight costs because of Red Sea issues which Arasu has already highlighted. EBITDA margin for quarter 1 FY25 stood at 12.6%. PAT for the quarter was at 24.7 crore, down by 17% year-on-year basis. With respect to liquidity positions, we remain net debt-free with a strong balance sheet. Cash and cash equivalents stood at 213.4 crore on consolidated basis as on 30th June 2024. With this, I can now leave the floor open for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Harsh Keshaha from Lal & Borka Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my side. So firstly, within the standalone operations, we now see that the India business contributes somewhere around 67-odd% of our revenue. So what's the target in terms of, say, in the next 3 to 5 years, where do we want to take this percentage to?
So you're talking about India percentage?
Yes.
So since we are around 60% currently, we have a target of, you know, taking it to 70-75%.
In what period?
So maybe in the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Got it. And secondly, you did mention that the incremental capex for the Magnesia Bricks would be somewhere around 3 odd crores. So would that be incurred in FY25 itself? And if yes, then what would be the potential revenue post this incremental capex from the Magnesia Bricks plant?
Magnesia Bricks plant, right now we are starting with actually 9,000, but we're going to put up one temporary kiln the capacity will be taken to 24,000 ton a year. Means we will be producing 2,000 ton, That will happen, the plant will start producing from FY26 Q2.
FY26 Q2, the incremental capacity.
The incremental capacity will be available in the mid of FY26. Because we are already in 25, so roughly 1 year from now, the 24,000 ton capacity will come.
Got it. And what was the CapEx that we spent on the casting flux plant? If you could quantify, that would be helpful.
What is that?
The CapEx that we incurred on the casting flux plant.
Casting flux plant, yeah. So we will come back, you know, with the numbers. So let's get on with the other question. Exact number, just we'll come back.
Okay. Thirdly, so now that we have done almost 14% kind of growth on a year-on-year basis and in our India business, so we should be easily crossing the 17% growth on a year-on-year basis, say FY25 to FY24, which you kind of alluded in the last quarter con call. So would you like to kind of up your guidance in terms of the India business growth?
India business growth, definitely, because now if you look at the first quarter, even the steel production of big houses have also, you know, little bit lull due to many factors. So as overall FY25, 17% guidance on growth of domestic market remains. We will achieve that.
No, so my question was that it seems that you should be easily doing more than 17%. So that was, I was trying
to... We also expect the same.
Okay. And also on the margin front, so when we look at the standalone margins, excluding the other income, it comes at somewhere around 15.6%. So now, this is also above our standalone margin guidance of 15%, which we gave in the last quarter. So if you could, you know, want to maintain this guidance, and if you are not upping your guidance, if you could highlight the reasons for the same.
No, we maintain our guidance of that 15%, because, you know, there are a lot of other penetration in the new market, other thing will come. So right now we are holding on to that guidance of 15% on Indian market.
Okay, I'll come back in the queue. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the new facilities you have enumerated. So these facilities will largely be used to cater to domestic demand, or we will start export from India also?
There are two. Magnesia carbon bricks and, the casting flux granules, both. It will be serving for both domestic and export, but predominantly it is domestic than, very few exports. But otherwise, predominantly the magnesia carbon brick predominantly will be for domestic market, and one or two, supplies to neighboring countries so that we get ourselves registered. So only that trial purpose, magnesia carbon. But on the other side, if you come to granules, so yeah, it will be for both domestic as well as export.
So if I were to understand the competitive scenario and just on the pricing perspective, are our bricks cheaper than what Chinese suppliers sell in the overseas market? How is it?
You see, now Ladle management, where the magnesia carbon is part of, there it is more and more coming as a total package that the brakes and as well as total maintenance and also the downstream like ACR. See, in that case, what happens is the capability of taking such orders are only remaining with the top three players, and we are emerging as one of that three, four players. So, though the challenges remain same, but as an, a local player, possibility of, capability of having packaging it with other products, ours will be, you know, not going to be affected much.
Do you mean to say that you are price competitive in the overseas market?
In Indian market, it is going to be good, and in overseas market, because most of the thing which is now happening, the our competitiveness is questioned because of that Red Sea and you know, the ocean freight front.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we are. But ocean freight, anyway, it's going to be level playing field. Once it, that is going to be you know, reimbursed by customers, so we are not going to be. So that the competitiveness will remain.
Okay. My third question is on the after so much of product, new product development initiative and R&D initiative, have we been able to add any new customer in last few quarters in the domestic market?
So he is asking what will be the market in the, you know, coming quarters. Can you repeat the question?
Have we been able to, sir, have we been able to add any new customer in the last few quarters?
Okay.
So, yeah, you see, we have added a few, you know, the mini steel plant, and our particularly with our cost-effective products of this, we name it as electro steel casting, you know, electrical steel making ESM sector, where we are fast growing and adding new accounts. But coming to integrated steel plant, it is more of, you know, increase in share of spend than addition of new customers.
Okay, so, okay. So you are basically trying to penetrate more into the existing customer.
Yeah, because where our products are gaining popularity and we are growing faster, so there we are adding new customers, and with the R&D and new products, we are increasing our share of spend with the existing major customers.
Okay, and sir, you had highlighted in the last conference call that you are looking for acquisitions in India as well as in US. And
so okay, go ahead, complete.
Yeah, so is there any update on that?
Yeah, see, we are definitely actively looking forward to our inorganic growth both in India as well as outside. And as of now, we do not have anything concrete to share with you, but the work is on progress. That much I can tell now.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from us.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jigar Shah from Elevate Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. Sir, keeping aside the export side of the business, could you provide some clarity on how the domestic business has performed in terms of margins on a year-on-year basis? Specifically, are the margins sustaining around 12% level?
So the margins are more or less in both the segment is currently at the similar level. Why? Because, you know, in the export, we always had good margins, but because of the uncertainty into the freight market, as you know, that because of the Red Sea, the freight has gone up from, you know, $2,000 to $6,000 in some sectors. So, which has, you know, caused a lot of dent in our profitability. So if I talk about this quarter, margins in both the segments, export as well as domestic, is more or less on the similar lines.
Okay, sir. Got it. And my second question is that, can you give some views on demand outlook for the non-ferrous refractory industry?
No, demand outlook, like, you know, basically, as you all know, that it is a derived industry, so the steel growth and cement growth are projected, though it has not happened in the same rate in the first quarter, but we are expecting it to pick up. Have 8%, you know, say 6%-8% growth in steel. So to that extent, our refractory demand also will rise. So that is the expectation now.
Okay, sir, got it. And second, lastly, sir, where do we currently stand on the CapEx plan of ₹150 crores for the manufacturing unit in Odisha? I mean, has the land been allocated, or, I mean, when can we expect to see the commercial productions begin? Can you provide some light?
Yeah, the land allotment is almost nearing because, you know, after this election result and everything is over, new government has come in place. So we are going to get that within a month's time also. So we are working on various possibilities. I think probably in the next call, we will have some idea about the exact project, but otherwise, it is in progress.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Determined Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. Just one question on the Europe side. So, between the last few months, we've seen, you know, Tata Steel decide to shut down their UK blast furnace, and even the Liberty Steel Group, you know, across a couple of locations, you know, is facing, you know, certain challenges. I just wanted to get a sense, you know, how much exposure do we have to, you know, these different sites? And a related sort of question, if you could sort of give us, you know, some color in terms of, you know, your top three, top five, you know, customers in Europe. So obviously, the market situation there still remains, and I think barring ArcelorMittal, the market situation sort of still remains fairly fluid.
So in Eastern Europe, whatever you said is correct. And then in the other part, like in addition to ArcelorMittal, if you look at Outokumpu and all, and they are all on there, though they are not growing, but they are maintaining. Okay? And then there are some few small accounts. You are correct because Europe is totally dull, and even you are again factually right in England also, like what some of the steelmaking capacities are closing down. Yeah, that's why even our actual performance in Q1 in export also has come down, and that's mainly owing to that lull condition in Europe. But barring that Tata Steel in U.K. and Liberty in two locations, other people like Outokumpu and ArcelorMittal, they maintain a very slight reduction, but otherwise, the show is going on.
So just to understand how much of exposure of the European business, you know, last year about 400 crores in terms of revenue, any sort of sense, you know, in terms of how much exposure do we have to Tata Steel and, you know, Liberty Steel? I mean, again, Liberty Steel, some sites are doing okay, some sites are problematic. So, you know, on the problematic side, you know, how much of exposure do we have to, you know?
So Amit, let me answer this question. In terms of exposure, we still have good exposure with ArcelorMittal, and we don't see any challenge in terms of any liquidity issue. In terms of other customers, yes, we are very cautious with respect to Liberty Group, and because of the, you know, last quarter we had, in December quarter, we had provisions and write-offs. So we are very, very cautious on that group, and we have taken actions in terms of deliveries and payment terms and other things. So this year, if I talk about, you're talking about the exposure versus the last year,
in terms of top line, I think we will be maintaining similar kind of turnover or maybe, you know, +10% maximum growth this year compared to last year.
Okay, understood. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good evening and congratulations for a decent set of numbers in such difficult times. So my first question is, when do you expect some kind of recovery for the overseas business? I mean, the intrinsic steel demand recovering and then thereby we also showing some strong growth for the Europe and America side of the business. Do you think it's possible next year? How do you see the ground demand over there?
The data has indicated from the economic front, Germany is not doing good, but some indicators is suggesting that from the quarter two, there will be some uptick in the demand. Okay, so I think then German companies will start doing good. So I think, you know, calendar year, if I talk about, then from quarter four onwards, I think demand is expected to pick up in the European steel markets.
And for America, sir?
Yeah.
For America?
America will remain same almost.
America, we have, I think, supplies in Mexico and all. Those will remain as it is.
Okay, so nothing major expected this year. Maybe America could improve next year.
Yeah, possible.
Okay. Second, if you can just, throw some more details on the reasons for the 14% growth that we have achieved. I mean, steel production grew by 4-5% in 1Q FY25 year-on-year. So, is this because we've got more lagging furnace contracts? Is this because we've got a few new product contracts? Or is it because the new addition of customers? If you can help us understand.
So your voice was not clear. We could not able to hear, the line. Can you repeat, please?
Yeah, is this better now?
Yeah, it's now better.
So my question was that in 1Q25, the steel production grew, domestic steel production grew by 4-5% year-on-year basis. But our domestic business has grew well above that, 14-15%. So
yeah.
what were the drivers for this? Was it the more ladle furnace contracts that we've signed up? Was it some new products that we pushed or was it some new customers? What's the development happening for us, working for us?
I would say that it's a combination of new customers. We have acquired one big customer in this quarter. As well as, as Arasu already explained, that we have been getting good growth in the ESM sector, that is mini steel plants. This is the second thing. Plus, we are, getting management business more in the big plants. So these are three things, addition of new customer, getting,
share of spend with existing customer as well as
these are the three major factors which has, have given this kind of growth in this quarter.
And just to get this correct, so mini steel would now be roughly 15-20% of our revenues, mini steel plant revenues coming from mini steel plants.
So if I talk about domestic things, then it will be almost 25% share of domestic business, okay?
25% of the domestic business. Okay. Got it. I understand. And this is commendable. The next question that I have is that, sir, what are we doing on the non-ferrous side of the business? I mean, if you can name a few products that we'll be developing and trying to push and what kind of customer traction we have, where can we see this segment going in, say, 1-2 years?
So
You see, as far as, you know, we call it as industrial segment, which comprises of cement, glass, gasification, and some of the non-ferrous metals. Predominantly, it is led by cement now. At the moment, we already got, you know, kind of a, you know, India's number one and number two, you know, cement producers have already given some trial orders, and we have already supplied. And to the extent I can say, like, around alumina bricks, which is, which we are supplying to the tune of 8 crore the first time we have taken the order. And also some castables, monolithic refractories. So alumina family of product we are getting into, you know, this industrial segment. And so we are already, you know, doing some kind of a marketing partnership, sales partnership with the established vendors who are doing basic. So these all products we are, I mean, you know, we are already selling. We have got an, we were instrumental in getting orders of close to 60 crore on for the cement bricks, where it is not on our top line, but we are associating ourselves, which becomes an enabler for pushing our products of alumina in the same customer.
Got it, sir. Got it. So this is very encouraging to hear, sir. And lastly, if you could give me the revenue from Sheffield, if possible. I mean, are we at the same number when we acquired it? Roughly, say, 45-50 crores of run rate quarterly at Sheffield?
So Sheffield is around, yes, 45-50 crore roughly on a quarterly basis.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir. I think this is very encouraging, the new efforts and new initiatives that you're taking, and all the best, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Atul from Dagar Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, sir. I just had two questions. First one is, what will be the peak revenue from the current capex that we have done, 170 plus capex?
So peak revenue, you know, we have already, you know, indicated that once when you reach 100% CU, capacity utilization of flux plant, that's going to be around 80 crore. And magnesia carbon with some debottlenecking and other thing, once when we reach, it will be 100 crore. So it will be totally, both the new lines will add 120 crore when we reach, 180 crore when we reach full capacity.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir. And the second question is, what will be your long-term guidance on the revenue and margin?
We could not get it.
Sir, what will be your long-term guidance for revenue and margins? In the long-term, I'm saying.
So, I think we have already said that it will be double.
Which one?
Yeah, overall.
In 5 years from now, we are doubling.
Yeah.
We are doubling top line for sure.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Mehta from Wisdom Advisors. Please go ahead. Mr. Mehta, your line has been unmuted.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Sir, in your opening remarks, you mentioned that our exports were impacted because of the Red Sea crisis. So, going forward, how do you see demand coming up from the exports front?
So, coming forward, we do not see anything, you know, it's close to 4%, 3%, that kind of a growth. Maintaining that, because mainly by converting it to the areas where slightly growing, like Turkey and, you know, some market in UAE, all those places. But that will be only compensating our, you know, less revenues from Europe and other where it is not growing. So the export we will continuously focus, but we will see that at least we grow by 4 to 5% every year on our export sales.
So why did we say that it has been impacted because of the Red Sea? Is because of the, you know, unprecedented rise in the freight rates. we had to, you know, both inbound and outbound. Yeah. So it has impacted, you know, the turnover and all those things because customers delayed this and that. So we can see the progress in the next quarter. So growth wise, what Arasu has said, that is there. But you know, whatever is in the basket will be delivered, you know, when this situation improves going forward.
Got it, sir. And sir, from the previous participants, you mentioned that you are targeting to double your revenue. So what are the major growth drivers you are expecting from which we can expect we can achieve that target?
Yeah. What he's saying, we said that we will double the revenue. What are the major areas? Well, how you will drop?
So what I will tell you, because we mentioned already about our focus, greater focus in our Indian market. There, we are seeing almost a possibility of tripling it in 5 years. So that is how overall for the company it will be double, but in Indian market we will grow more than double. So that is how overall we are going on a consolidated basis, double. But standalone basis will be much more than double. So that's how we are coming.
So basically what is we are targeting is that if you see the Indian steel policy, as per that we are already at 160 million tons in a year. So that is growing to 220 or 250 in the years to come. And definitely that growth in the steel sector would give growth to the company.
Got it, sir. And sir, one last question from my side on the subsidiaries part. So can you share the revenue numbers for subsidiaries and throw some colors how they are performing and what is the demand scenario?
I think we have already given in the presentation, no?
Okay, sir, I'll just cross-check.
Just cross-check, and if it is required, then you can connect me separately one-to-one. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. And all the best.
Thank you. This is a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, namaskar, sir. Sir, firstly, about the product profile part, currently with the CapEx at Vizag, do we have with comparison to our peers the entire product portfolio? Are we catering to all categories?
Yeah, see, once when we have come up with other than two major bricks, which you know, the major players like the top two major players in India, they have, which we do not have, will be dolomite bricks and silica bricks. So other than these two big items where we do not have any product, rest all other we are in, you know, in our product range. So the whole range we are also one of the full range players barring these two big items.
Okay, and what is the market size of these two types of bricks out of the total portfolio, the dolomite and the silica bricks?
Dolomite in India and silica bricks put together around it will be around you can say around 4,000 let's say 68
in revenue terms also, sir, you can tell.
Hello.
Yeah.
So let me tell you. It's close to it's a market of around 470 to 500
crore. Okay, and sir, we have
the overall market.
Overall market, sir, and we have our R&D center now up and running. We have done lot of capex, I think so, closer to 150-175 crore. So, are we in the process of including these two also in the product profile going ahead?
No, because our R&D is, because we have to do a lot of work in stepping up our stature in our existing products. Plus, when, as I mentioned already, we are entering into industrial non-ferrous sector with alumina and castable in that area, and also absorbing our Sheffield technology into India for shotcreting and other things. So we will be concentrating only on that. These two bricks, what I have mentioned, is not going to be in our radar, at least for time to come, for, you know, in the 3 to 5 years, we don't even think, because we need to stabilize and grow in the existing products.
Okay. And coming to the R&D part once again, sir, the investment that we have made for the R&D center, how are we reaping the benefits of the same in terms of efficiency? And now you just mentioned about Sheffield also technology being imbibed into the from the R&D from India. If you could just explain, and what is the thought process for the current year? What kind of efficiencies are we looking from reaping the benefits from the R&D investment?
So R&D equipment, say, for example, I have explained earlier also, most of our strength is the capability of taking up total management, where the performances of product directly impacts on our bottom line. And particularly R&D, for example, the new facility for carbon recognition plant, which we brought up in our Rourkela, is enhancing, it's going to enhance. Already initial trials have given, you know, very encouraging results of enhancing our performance. That will add, like, you know, the number of heats increase and other things. And also we are benchmarking through R&D, we are also benchmarking about our product performance versus others. So and then particularly bringing technology and making it work with the local raw materials. These are the great work. In this area, our R&D is going to concentrate, and we are seeing encouraging results, particularly on performance improvement through our carbon recognition and R&D involvement.
So in absolute money terms, or in can you give some bit of the saving, annual saving that we will be accruing out of this investment?
Right now, I don't have the data readily available, but we will work out, and maybe next time we can too. And another area which I, you know, we are going to work on through R&D is that recycled material usage. So those things will bring us, you know, cost benefit. But to put a number directly, immediately, you know, it's too early, because we are working on that. Maybe by H1 end, we will have some kind of a idea.
Okay, sir. And coming to the utilization level, sir, when we look at the major part of the contribution is from India, and you also mentioned that going ahead, that is also going to increase. So how are the other geographies going to contribute for the current year in terms of the sluggishness in Europe we have already outlined? So for the Americas part, are these numbers now sustainable? And outside India, is it Russia and the Czech Republic the major market? If you could just quantify it for us.
Well, we are seeing Russia, Ukraine also one of these areas where we are growing. In addition to that, GCC countries and Turkey, these are the area also, you know, we are concentrating more where better opportunities to compensate the business, you know, degrowth in Europe and some part of America.
Okay. But the contribution is very low, sir. Only 4 crore rupees revenue, Asia, and that too, there is no contribution to the bottom line. So what kind of numbers are we penciling in from Asia, apart, I mean, outside India, when we look at the geographical mix?
You want guidance or?
Understanding, sir. We have done a revenue of 4 crore only. When we have, when we look at the segmental part, Asia, excluding India, and you are mentioning that we are catering to the GCC countries and other than the Russian and the Ukraine part. So what are we working it, and what's the trajectory going at? Since we posted losses also in the segmental PBT number of 4 lakh,
Asia, only Vietnam, Bangladesh, all these countries are coming, not Turkey and all. So these countries will remain, you know, in that zone only. And we have been trying to penetrate market into Indonesia and this Vietnam. If that works out, then this number will definitely be improved.
Okay. And for the domestic operations, what are the utilization levels currently?
Utilization level is in the range of 65% to 70%. Overall basis, I am talking about, not product to product. Product to product, it mostly varies.
Including the new facility also, ramp up at Vizag?
Vizag has just started, so I am not taking that into consideration. Okay. For the quarter one, Vizag contribution is almost, I should say, minimal. So, keep that Vizag part out. I am talking about Kanda and Kalunga. So, Vizag will start contributing in this quarter.
Okay. What should be the run rate, sir, for the remaining 9 months from Vizag?
Last year we did around 80 crore, we did. This year our plan is to hit 180 crore also. So at least we will be, and the run rate after this, we'll have to calculate. So total this year we will do around 180 crore.
Yeah, 180 crore.
So 100 crore is addition from the last year. We will do that, yeah.
100 crore from Vizag plant for the 9 months.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kapoor, please rejoin the queue for more questions.
Yes, sir, was only answering. Sir, I was just speaking the understanding. No further questions.
Yeah.
If I may complete. Sir, you mentioned 100 crore from Vizag for the coming 9 months.
Yeah, let me give you the questions. You can come back.
Yes.
I'll give you the exact.
Yes, I'll join the queue. You please give the details, sir.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh K. Shah from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Firstly, on the in the annual report, the latest annual report, we have mentioned something as within the revenue from operations as revenue from services, which is somewhere around 20-odd crores. Could you help us elaborate what exactly does this include?
Come again, please.
So the, in the annual report, the latest annual report, within the revenue from operation, you have bifurcated into revenue from sale of products and revenue from sale of services. So the sale of services constitutes somewhere around 20-odd crores. So what exactly does this include?
I'll explain you. So when we take a total refractive management services, okay, which is total refractive management from companies like Tata Steel, JSW, GSPL, so that total management consists of supply and apply both. So this part is the application part where labor is required to give the services. So there are two components of that order. So this is, that is how it is bifurcated.
Got
Am
it.
I be able to explain you? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Secondly, when will the technology transfer from Sheffield is likely to get completed? Because I believe when you are acquired, you had said somewhere around 12 to 15 odd months. So when is it likely to get completed?
By end of this calendar year. So that means trial with customers are expected to happen sometime by January, February, March, 25.
Okay. And if you could help us quantify the impact of freight costs in this quarter? Yeah, that was my last question.
Freight cost, quantify the due to freight.
So due to freight, the impact is around 6 crore rupees.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Due to time constraint, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, we would like to thank all the participants and we hope that we have been able to answer most of the queries. We look forward to your participation in the next call. For any queries, you may contact SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you and good night.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, that concludes this conference. Thanks for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.